I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Hello, I'm Solazar, and you're listening to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation on Radio Monterey. Now, Kirilani is unable to join us this evening. She's going through some kind of a clearing, and actually, this is a good time to do that, but we'll talk along in a little bit of why this might be a good time to do those clearings. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we give you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the producer of the Rota Psychic Fair coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds November 1st and 2nd. And is also the owner-operator of Radio Monterey. Now, our guests tonight include Charlotte Tinker, who we'll be talking with in a moment, and Howard Strauss, who we'll talk to in the second hour. But before we talk with our guests this evening, let's hear a little bit about the energy of the week, the month, and the year, and the go with the flow. Now, I started this evening by talking with Charlotte about how August is the month of self-love, and it's a month of self-love in so many different ways. After all, it's the energy of prosperity and abundance through self-love, and we've been going on this journey through 2014 where we've been saying every week, every month in our monthly calls, this is the year for us to go deep into whom we are, who we came here to be, and start brushing it off and bringing it out. If we've been hiding our light under a burlap bag, it's time to let that light slip out and shine as brightly as we're able to. Now, we don't expect everybody to shine as full brightness all at once, but start allowing the true you to come out and express themselves in this world. And now we've come, in this manifesting portion of the year, to this beautiful month of August. This is the month that says everything that's of value to you in your life comes through your expression of self-love. And self-love can only be real if you're identifying the true you underneath it. Loving yourself for whom you are and who you are, warts and all, is a really important part of accepting yourself as the divine being you are right now in this moment. So when we come to this month of August, we have some interesting things going on. You know, we've just gone through a new moon going into Leo. We've gone through a lot of movement into Leo from both we've got Jupiter. I'm looking at my notes, so that's why if you heard me stutter, you're right. Mars, Mercury. We've got a Leo infusion from the old line of Three Amigos. We have a plethora of planets in Leo. And that means we've got a lot of this self-socialized energy. But yet at the same time, what we don't recognize is that this energy is really asking us to go inside, to be thoughtful, to be introspective, to explore ourselves. So take this month of Leo to not only explore yourself, but be willing to move a little slower than you usually do. Allow yourself to slow down. Don't get into the rush. We're at the point in the year where children have been out of school long enough. School hasn't started up yet. People are still taking vacations, still doing afternoon barbecues, different little things on the weekends. We still have enough light in the evening. It's still a good time to really reflect on being the best you can be and who that you is before we head into the dark night of winter. This is the month for that. This is the month to love you. And one of the reasons we have Charlotte here this evening is she's going to give us an exercise that we can do to help us not only love who we are, but to love the life we're living. And that's a really important part. I've told this story before, but I am going to share it again. And I want to say for the record, I'm nothing if not redundant. But over the holidays, when I went back to New York to visit my family, a little surprise drop-in on Christmas Day at dinner time, my brother-in-law's brother, he and I went to high school together. And because I'd gotten laid off last year, and they all knew that, he had actually asked me, he said, I don't know why he asked me. It wasn't part of the conversation. I was busy hugging, kissing, and doing all the things you do when family sees you that hasn't seen you in a while. And he said to me, he said, so do you have any regrets? And I said to him, no. I actually had no hesitation. I said, no. I said, and I'll tell you why. I said, because I really love the person I am. And if I have regrets about any aspect of my life, I said, then I couldn't love the person that I am, because I would say that some component, something that made me who I am in this moment, is something I don't feel good about. Now, that doesn't mean there are things I wouldn't have done better. That doesn't mean there are things that I really wish I hadn't done or things that I wish I had done. But to me, it's not the same as saying those are regrets. You know, those are exercises in the journey of life where we go through our learning process. And we've talked about that again and again and again. When we go through our process of learning, when we go through our process of exercise, we always look and say, to me, it's I put it in this context. I put it in the context of Ganesha and Saturn. To me, those are two tools presented to us, the god Ganesh and the planet Saturn, wherever it is in our chart. The one thing those two things do for us is they present us with challenges that have lessons in them. And when we've gone through the challenge, we hopefully have learned the lesson. And everyone listening right now has already gone through the worst thing that ever happened to you in your life. And you've gone through it, and you've made it through. And now you have to ask yourself, what was the learning, not what's the regret? So that's my little Sermon on the Mount for August, is that this is not the time to have regrets and say, woulda, coulda, shoulda. This is the time to say, what can I do to bring out the best of who I am? And what can I do to shine up some of those rough edges I'm still carrying? And quite frankly, for all of us, there are always rough edges we kind of like to keep around anyway. And that's okay. You can still love yourself completely for who you are. So I just want to share that, because August is going to be a month of many, many transitions and shifts. There'll be some dreamy time, some fantasy time. We're going to have a great shift later. Well, actually, through the whole month of August, we won't have the great shift I was moving into. But we're also going to be looking for efficiencies, ways of improving our environment, ways of improving the things we do, ways of being better about the approaches we take to everything. And give yourself the time to do that in August. Don't rush into it. Allow yourself to ride gracefully through it. So that's what I'm going to share with you for August. Let me take a look at what Kira gave us for July, we haven't completed August yet. That reminds me, our August energy, vibrational energy call will be this coming Wednesday. So we had to shift it from this past Wednesday. Generally, it's the last Wednesday of every month. We had to shift it to this first Wednesday in August, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the 6th of August. So go to goodvibrationsradio.com. Go to the monthly call page and sign on up so that you can share with us what we're going to share with the entire energy of August versus just this little prelude. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's August 5th at 6 p.m. So I said it wrong because I don't always count right. That's why I was in the Marine Corps. All right, I don't really mean that, but that was self-deprecating. So that leads us to our first guest this evening. Now, give me a minute, because I am so totally unprepared that you could not imagine. No, I didn't get to it. Is it with a Y? W?
Quanyin?
Yes.
Quanyin.com.
Oh.
Quanyin.com. No spaces. Speaks at the end of that.
Oh, there was a speaks.
Yes,
there it goes.
Speaks.
All right, all of you at home are just reveling. I will say this, there is no Mercury retrograde. This is just me. So I want to introduce you a little bit to Reverend Charlotte Tinker. She was ordained in 1990, and it's more than at that time was more than 20 years of study encompassing all forms of spiritual and healing practices. She serves a very large community, is a wonderful teacher, is a gentle spirit in a great big heart. And when she walks into a room, you know she's there from the settling of the energy. It's almost as if she's the oil that settles the troubled waters of life sometimes. And so she is with us tonight because she's also, among many other things, she's a channel for Kuan Yin. But she also, yesterday, put a post on Facebook about a practice that she was suggesting people consider for this month of August or the next 28 days. And it seemed so perfect to go with what we're talking about in a month of self-love. So I want to welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Reverend Charlotte Tinker. Thank you for joining us.
I'm delighted.
Well, that makes two of us. So that's very synchronistic. So just for the sake of the listeners who may not have been introduced to you before, could you tell us a little bit about how you were introduced to Kuan Yin and subsequently became a channel to bring through?
Oh, sure. Actually, yes, I will. I'll be glad to do that. So I met Kuan Yin in 1987. I was going to, I was a student at that time at the Healing Light Center Church studying healing with Reverend Rosalind Brier and the staff there. And I had been having some very severe reactions. Every time I put my hands on someone and ran energy, I'd have these big welts on my skin. And this little voice inside of me would say, "You're going to be severely punished." You know? And then the next time around, you know, I would hear these voices would be coming out of my throat. And I was really scared. I'd uprooted myself and my daughter and taken us off to a foreign country called Glendale, California to go to school. And here I was. And so I went to see one of the staff, elders on staff, whose name was Reverend Carol Simpson, and told her what was going on. And she sat there for a few moments and looked at me, and then she kind of laughed and she says, "Well, Charlotte, you're a natural medium."
Mm.
And for me, one of the interesting things that happened was one of the last pieces of my healing kind of drifted into place. So I asked her at that time, you know, "Well, what should I do to take control of this? Because my big thing is, you know, I don't mind learning how to live with all this stuff coming in. I just want to be able to take some control of it." So I went to extra classes with her, and it was at one of these classes that Kuan Yin came in. And the instruction had been to ask our teacher or guide to come in, and Kuan Yin came in. She was not my teacher or guide at that time. And I had this argument with her about what she was doing there. And she said, "Well, you know, the instructions for your teacher to come in." And I said, yeah, but, you know, how come you're here?" And she said, "Well, the instruction was for your teacher to come in." And I said, "Yeah, I got that part. But what are you doing here?" And she said, "The instruction was for your teacher to come in."
Where's the symbols when
right.
you need one?
And then she left, because by that time I was charging back into my body like crazy. And so that kind of illustrates the relationship that she and I have had now for the last, what is it, my Lord, 30 years, close on to 30 years. I decided after she told me that I was finally well enough, finally in a place that we could take up where we left off before, that I would actually make this commitment to be her channel. It was not an easily come-to commitment. I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to do her justice, to be able to be clear enough and open enough that that she could come through in her most beauteous energy. I have never regretted a moment of it. It took me off in a direction in my life that I would never have even known existed, let alone have chosen on purpose if I had. It is an amazing experience to know that you are in an intimate relationship with something or someone that loves you, period, no matter what. And in that relationship, I've learned to love myself the same way.
Mm.
And I suspect that that's what these relationships are about to start with in any case, not necessarily about the lessons that were given, although those are very nice, but to be in that energy and to have your own energy field begin to vibrate to that higher vibration of those teachers that are heart teachers and above, because it's a beautiful experience to be part of that.
Well, congratulations, and thank you so much for accepting. As we know with, it seems with everyone that Kira and I know that is a channel, it really comes down to, do you accept or not accept?
Yeah.
And there's always that option. So I'm going to let the listeners, we're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Reverend Tinker about some of what she was putting out onto Facebook and what we can do in this month of self-love to help bring more love and gratitude, peace and ease to our lives. So please stay tuned. This is Good Vibrations Radio right here on Radio Monterey, and we'll be right back.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Eric Hananoki. During an appearance on Fox News Radio's Kilmeade and Friends, Republican Senate candidate Scott Brown credited his time working as a Fox News contributor for motivating him to run for office again.
We are miss having you on, having you as a contributor, but I know you're working hard to get that seat in the Senate.
So it's been a lot of fun. Really enjoy it. Certainly, I love doing what I was doing, and I think as a result of me being on Fox and being up on the issues and listening to the false rhetoric out of the administration, really charged me up to get involved again.
Brown took advantage of Kilmeade's softball interview to repeatedly plug his website and call for campaign volunteers. Of course, Fox News has proven to be a great place for Republican politicians to raise their national profile while earning a paycheck. Rick Santorum said during his 2012 presidential campaign that his former job with Fox had, quote, been big and helped folks remember who I am. It's a great platform, being able to talk about the current issues of the day. For more on this and other stories, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Take 10 seconds to imagine the face of your best friend, your coworker, your classmate, your hero. The face of a veteran, a senior on a fixed income. Now, I want you to imagine them without a home. More than 2 million people in America rely on public housing to provide a home for their families, and there are at least 500,000 waiting for a safe place to live. I'm Jewel, and I'd like you to join me and rethink how public housing is supporting your community. Visit rethinkhousing.org.
Welcome to the world of diamond consciousness, the unequivocal yes.
With diamond alignment, you can experience all the benefits of meditation online in just 6 minutes. Try it once and change your day. Try it every day and change your life.
The diamond energy of joy and equanimity will emanate from you today. Watch the world change around you and have a diamond day.
Thank you. Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio on AM 540 KRXA.
And this is Solazar. We're talking to the Reverend Charlotte Tinker. And you can find out more about all that Reverend Tinker does by going to Kuan Yin Speaks. And I'm going to spell that for you. That's Q-U-A-N-Y-I-N Speaks, SPEAKS.com. KuanYinSpeaks.com. And being slow going on the pickup today, I will get that on the guest page of Good Vibrations Radio. .com later this evening or tomorrow morning at the latest, so you'll be able to just connect right over from there. But before we went to the break, Charlotte, you shared with us how you became introduced to Kuan Yin as your teacher and became a channel of her. And during that journey, it's quite obvious, partly a paraphrase of what you said. So I'm saying it's quite obvious, and you may say it's not obvious at all.
Okay.
Yeah. And for those who can't see, I was doing a finger wag, too.
I want to
point out there was a finger wag in there. But it seems obvious that journey for you also has been not only has it been a journey where you've shared the teaching with others, but it's been your teaching at the same time. It seems to always be a parallel.
Yeah. Actually, in the training that I was taking, it was the very first rule is that the only reason that you have a relationship with your spirit teachers is for you. It's not really for anybody else. And that that you get to share it with people who are interested. But there isn't anything that Kuan Yin ever speaks about or suggests that isn't directed at me first. And so we always taped everything because then I had to go back and listen to it to get whatever the lesson was for
that's
me
right,
as well.
For you as well. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in our experience as well, and see if this holds true, is that even though the teacher is coming through the human, everything is really filtered through the human anyway because they're
absolutely
working. It's kind of like having a circuit, and the circuit can only handle so much wattage or
right
voltage or energy. So everything, it comes through that same filter. And it's really important for people when they receive it to recognize that, not because it changes the message, but they have to recognize sometimes that choice of words is the choice of word that they find in the library.
Right. Channel. Absolutely. One of the concerns I'd had before while I was considering whether or not to take on this challenge was that I didn't think I could be clear enough. And one of the challenges of a channel is to do all of your spiritual clearing, healing work, whatever you want to call it, every single day. You have to be up to date as much as you can possibly be, because when you channel your teacher, you want to have as much of yourself cleared away and out of the way as possible. Because you always know that no matter what, there's a part of the persona of the channel who is still there. It's kind of like going through maybe a piece of cheesecloth, you know. There's there's that kind of a funny filter that goes through there. And so that commitment requires a certain kind of lifestyle to be in integrity with yourself and the teacher as well. And then, of course, the benefit is, the bonus is that in the process of working with that teacher, the clearing process happens even though you don't know it. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that's very subtle and covertly that you wake up some morning down the line and with this realization that, I guess that's done.
Well, I think that's wonderful. It makes me think, and I don't know if this is a fair example, but it makes me think of when Gay Hendricks was sharing with us about people in depression, and he's done a lot of work along with his wife, Katie or Kathleen, I may have that wrong, but they do a lot on relationships. He does things on love and self-love. He wrote a wonderful book on self-love that right after he wrote it is when he met his wife, you know, type of thing. So,
yeah.
So it's kind of, we get to this realization. But he did this wonderful sharing with us about dealing with patients that were depressed. And one of the things that he would do is he would take all of these depressed patients, one by one, individually, of course, and ask them if there was somebody in their life or someone around them that they could help.
Yes. It helps get you out of yourself. It truly helps get you out of yourself. And I suspect that when it comes down to the bottom of every human being, when we get past all of the fear and all of the self-hate and all of the belief systems that we're not worthy anything, what we find is that our choice was to come into this format, into this polar dimension, in order to be angels or soulmates for every other human being that's there. And Kuan Yin teaches us all the time, from other different perspectives as well, but she also teaches that there isn't anything outside of ourselves that is not a reflection of some part of ourselves. And so if we begin to look at everything that comes through our lives, every experience, every person, everything there, as a gift, as the angel, as a soulmate, so for us to look within, then we clear away so much of that old persona stuff that we got stuck with and thought was true, and we begin to identify ourselves with the soul self that we actually are. And as we begin to do that, we realize that that's love. There isn't anything there except perfect love. And so we begin to be able to help more and more. So when we look at someone who's in trouble and we step outside of our own trouble to help them, that essentially turns that mirror back into us, and in helping them, we are actually healing ourselves.
And I also meant that in relation to, by going through the channeling practice with Kuan Yin, you are actually doing the same thing to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Your turn. And so that's wonderful, and thank you for sharing that. We want to let folks know, if you would like to call in to ask a question to Reverend Charlotte Tinker, you can call area code 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. But I think all of that goes back to you. For me, it goes back to the affirmation that you wrote yesterday on Facebook. Now, was that a result of your daily practice that you were going through?
To do this particular affirmation? No.
Yes.
Well, what happened is about 10 or 11 years ago, one of the people that came on a regular basis to our Friday night sitting circle had read something or found something or heard something about a therapist someplace in the middle of the country who is having an enormous amount of success. And the way the therapist dealt with every one of the patients that came was to have them go back and do this affirmation. And because I don't seem to have any kind of smarts.
No, let's not say that. Let's not put that out there.
My little antennas go up, and I think, oh, what a great idea. We should do this. And then I have all of these people that come every Friday night who are wonderful guinea pigs. And so myself and all of these folks became guinea pigs, and we did this particular affirmation and found it to be incredibly powerful in many, many ways. The hardest part about it for me was it took me about 6 months of writing this every single morning. Before I could remember the back half of it. And then I would find myself in my car with my teeth grit going, I have no complaints whatsoever. The thank you for everything was absolutely easy. I've never had any problem with that. I had been practicing that for a very long time in any case. And I see that my life as it is today in comparison to where I started from is an absolute gift. And so to be say thank you for everything is really easy. To say in addition to that, I have no complaints whatsoever, was a real challenge. And I'm glad to say I wasn't the only one who was so challenged, although I think I was challenged longer than many others.
Well, at this point, since we've kind of stepped into it gingerly, would you share the affirmation with the listeners? And let them know so they can hear it, and then we could perhaps talk a little bit more about it before you let them know how to use it.
Sure. The affirmation is, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
So what's the affirmation?
That's it. Yeah. It's, what? I didn't hear that quite right. What was the second word?
So again, for those listening, it's thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Now, that may almost seem almost too simple, but How is it that we use it? What do we do with that affirmation?
Well, I actually made this an assignment for a friend of mine who is having a really tough time. And the assignment is to sit down 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night, and write 10 times in your book this affirmation, 10 times, and to do it for 28 days. And what I was informed of when I came up with this was that not only is this shifting your personal energy, but because of the times that we're in, every time you do any kind of healing for yourself, you are also, in fact, loosening the old set in their ways, behavior, and thought patterns at the universal level, at the universal mind level. So you are, in fact, impacting universal mind in the same way that this affirmation and practice will impact your personal life as well. So it's not, it's a double-edged sword in some ways, I guess you could say. It's a double, it goes in two different ways. It's not a personal only healing, and we're past the point where any of the healing we do is personal only. We're past that point, and we're into the place, according to Kuan Yin, that every piece of healing or shifting or changing or opening or loving that you do for yourself, you are in fact impacting universal mind in the same way.
So when you say write it, also I take that to physically write, not
yes,
type on a computer.
Not type on a computer. Some people will be really hesitant about that. They don't like to write. The fact is that when you do this exercise and you actually hold a pencil in your hand and put it on paper and write it out, there's a very deep kinesthetic thing that happens, because the energy of the I call it a mantra instead of an affirmation. For me, it's a mantra. But the energy of the mantra, the energy of the words and how they are put together, goes through your fingers and your skin and through your nervous system and goes into your cellular structure. And not only that, but now you also see it, so you get it visually. And I don't know about you, but I have to say it in my mind to write it. Some people probably don't. But then, so I also hear it. So I'm actually get this information in on three of the five senses that you have available to you. And it makes it very powerful, very impacting.
And what I'm not sure everybody understands is that, going along with what you said, that when you physically write, you actually create a physical reaction inside you mm-hmm. that does not occur when you type something.
No, so, it doesn't happen the same way.
So don't think, well, yeah, I've heard that. But there is a known scientific shift that occurs, a
right.
physical shift that occurs that's been measured and studied when you actually write.
It really does. It has to do, there's a chemical thing that happens as well, but it also has to do with the synapses in the brain, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Curious. Interesting.
Well, and that's why, I mean, it goes back to so many things. We've had Janet Connor, who does soul writing. We've had, Natalie Goldberg, who does writing down the bones. But all of those are really about taking the physical action of doing
right.
that writing, and it's extremely important to do that. And if you journal, we recommend that you also do that practice.
Right.
So now it's 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening,
uh-huh.
but at least 3 times a day.
Uh-huh.
And once again, we're saying.
So you're saying, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. I've had a few responses worried about the no word, because they look at that as a subconscious which doesn't hear a negative. So I went back and rechecked the energy of it. What that does in that specific way is it doesn't allow you to scooch around the corner in your mind or your emotions about not accepting exactly what it is that you are in the presence of in this moment. And that's what's really important. That's what this is about, is accepting fully exactly what is happening, how you are feeling, what is going on in this present moment as it is, not as you can kind of soften it in some way or the other. And interestingly enough, the subconscious doesn't hear this as a negative sentence. If you were saying, I don't have any complaints, now you would be having this double negative thing that goes on in the subconscious. But when you do it as in, I have no complaints whatsoever, the energy is very, very different.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. But I do think sometimes within the metaphysical community, we can nitpick things.
Yes, we do. I love the one about you should have to shift to your left so that when you hug somebody, you hug left shoulder or the heart, you know.
Well, it's heart to heart. Actually, I can show you that I can show you through muscle testing that actually makes a difference.
Well, I really like to full on straight because now I get all the chakras lined up when I hug. And I
But I can show you that the reason, because I do that, but I was shown that by a theta healer through actual muscle testing, that it weakens your body if you don't do heart-to-heart. When you do heart-to-heart, it retains your body. So it's very interesting.
I'll do some experimenting with it. Yes. I've got a whole big group of guinea pigs.
Yeah. I know. Now, I wanted to come back to that Friday night sitting circle. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming you don't have to be a guinea pig to attend.
No.
But what is the Friday night sitting circle that you do?
Well, we started this about, this started very soon after September the 11th, 2001. So we started toward the end of that year, the beginning of the following year. And it's a channeling session. And I have students now who I've been teaching. And so we come together almost every Friday from 8 until around 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And people are encouraged to come and bring their questions. And we now have 3 full-time channelers who channel.
Yeah.
So Kuan Yin always closes our evening up. And you're encouraged to ask whatever questions you're interested in. It doesn't seem to matter what they are. And speak with the teachers about whatever your issues are that day. We also find, in addition to this, that it's become a very strong spiritual community. And people come and they bring their own energy into this community, and they now have a circle that they can draw from when they're somewhere else and things are getting a little shaky or they're feeling distraught. And when they're in good place, you can think about us and add energy too. So it's kind of like this big soup that we're making that we all can feel nurtured from and can give nurturing to. Kind of a side thing that happens.
Well, and thank you for sharing that as well. So we want to how would folks contact you? Would they go through Kuan Yin Speaks?
You can do that. We're also posted on, let me see if I can get this right, Monterey Metaphysical Meetup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the one we're posted on. And Mike Dinkle is kind of running that, and so you can...
He's running the meetup now?
That for us.
Oh,
you know, are posting on that meetup. And so we're asking people to come and make reservations if they want to come, so we kind of know approximately who's going to be there and know whether to wait for you. You can also email me at my contact from... There's a contact page where you can get a hold of me on KuanYinSpeaks.com. You can also email me at starwise9@gmail.com and ask. I'll be glad to send you on the information.
So we want to let folks know that we're talking to Reverend Charlotte Tinker, and she is a channel of Kuan Yin, among many other things in her journeys and studies. And you can go to Kuan Yin Speaks, and that's QuanYinSpeaks. We will have that posted .com. We will have that posted on GoodVibrationsRadio.com guest page. But feel free to go to Kuan Yin Speaks and contact Reverend Tinker to find out more. And also, perhaps to get down, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. 3 times a day for the next 28 days in this month of self-love. So we'll be back with a little bit more Good Vibrations Radio and Reverend Tinker right after this commercial break.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council. The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
So I see this ad on TV. It says I can reduce my debt by 50%. So I call. They told me to stop paying my bills, stop talking to my creditors. It didn't seem right, but they said they'd take care of everything.
I gave them thousands of dollars, but most of it went to their fees.
Getting out of debt is neither quick nor easy. There are those who will tell you anything just to win your trust.
Sounded perfect. I did everything they told me to do.
They never paid my creditors. They didn't even contact them.
Turns out I'm even more in debt because the fees and the interest on my cards kept piling up.
Bad advice from so-called experts can make your financial situation worse.
And the bank turned me down for a mortgage. And that's when I realized my credit was shot. I should have gone straight to my creditors to begin with.
There is a better way to get help. Talk to your creditors directly. Or to find a nonprofit agency near you, visit debtadvice.org. Debtadvice.org. Real solutions for real people. This has been a public service message.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajito Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio on AM 540 KRXA.
And this is Solazar. We're talking to the Reverend Charlotte Tinker. And you can go to KuanYinSpeaks.com to find out more about the Reverend Charlotte Tinker, as well as to contact her. And before the break, we were talking about the Friday night sitting circle, which is kind of a channeling session. And there are others who channel as well as Reverend Tinker. She's been training people who are going through the process with her, so they have four right now.
Three.
Well, I said at the beginning, I can't count.
That's okay. Well, and occasionally we have a fourth. We have old students drop in, so you never know from one evening to the next who's going to be there.
No, I didn't ask this, and maybe I should have, but they're not all doing Kuan Yin, are they?
Oh, no. Everyone has their own teacher. And when we actually teach, I started teaching because my teacher was moving away. and I asked Kuan Yin how I was going to have a weekly group of people, and she said, well, you're going to teach, of course. And I said, get a grip. And 4 months later, I started my first sitting circle. That was on October the 31st in 1988, actually. I think it was 87, something like that.
And you also mentioned you have a Tuesday night meditation group.
Yes, we do. I had met some people, and on the day after the towers came down on September the 11th of 2001, I called a few people and said, I'm feeling like we really need to do some rescue work. And so we had about six or seven people come together and went out to do rescue work on the people who had died the day before. And decided that we wanted to get together every week. So we've been meeting ever since on Tuesday night to do meditation for the world.
And is that open to others as well?
Everybody's welcome to come, anybody who wants to come. Again, you can get a hold of me the same way. Mike, I think, started posting us last month on Monterey Meetup. So you can go and do however you do that. Just let us know you're coming so we know to wait for you. That starts at 7:30. The Friday night starts at 8 o'clock.
All right. So we want to remind folks once again who are listening that we're talking to the Reverend Charlotte Tinker, and you can go to kwanyinspeaks.com to find out more about her. But what started us down this path is not that I don't know this wonderful lady, but she just posted about this mantra for us to do for the next 28 days. And I want to come back full circle to that because, once again, August is the month of self-love. And our prosperity and abundance comes through self-love. Self-love comes through the respect and reverence that we give to ourselves. And as a result, we have plenty to give to everybody else. But here's the mantra. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. You write it 10 times, 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening. And you write it. It's handwriting. It's that physical action of the handwriting. It's the kinesthetic response to that. It's the chemical response to that. It's the mental response to that physical writing. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. And as Reverend Tinker first mentioned also, even when she first started doing it, the I have no complaints whatsoever became a very difficult, challenging part. But what we're doing is we're reframing, retraining, reteaching, and rebirthing ourselves through I have no complaints whatsoever. So we encourage everyone to say, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Actually, say it is not what we want you to do. We want you to write it 10 times, 3 times a day. Starting today, when, tomorrow.
Yeah, whenever.
Just start, but do it with love. Do it with grace. Sometimes it'll be a little rushed, but write it anyway. Try to give yourself the time. It's the way we used to talk about diamond alignment. When we used to say, if you don't have 6 minutes to do a guided meditation through the internet at least once a day, you need to reevaluate your life. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to my preeminent story for everyone about reevaluating your life. There was a comedian years ago who pointed out that the Pop-Tarts box has microwave instructions on it, and you microwave it for 3 seconds. And the real point is, if you are using Pop-Tarts for breakfast and you have to microwave them, you need to reevaluate your life.
Absolutely. See, and I would say 3 seconds in the microwave and you can take one really good full breath inward and outward, and now you've taken 3 seconds for yourself to be grounded and centered to start your day, in which case you can actually survive your microwaved Pop-Tarts.
Very true. Very true. But that's also in this month of self-love, everything that we should be doing is a reassessment of those things that are really serving us, those things we're doing out of habit. And this goes for all of us. Just take the time to do that. We mentioned periodically about Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy Sark and how she talks about being a procrastinator par excellence, but she created a process she calls micro-movements that led her to being able to write 18 books. And micro-movements are 5 seconds to 5 minutes. So when you say, I need to take a step, I need to plan, I need to know what to do next, you do things that take from 5 seconds to 5 minutes, no more. Now, what happens is you end up almost tricking yourself into taking more time. But the first time you write down on your to-do list, I need to do this hour thing, you know, your body, your mind, and your excuse meter is going to find all kinds of ways to avoid doing it. It's like the thing, speaking of Facebook, I saw on Facebook not long ago, it said, you know, I was reading an article about my ADD, and then, oh, look, there's flowers, and let me look at the flower over here. Oh, wait a minute, I want a piece of... Before you know it, you're bouncing off of everything, and it's the same thing with all of us. This month, self-love. This month, give yourself the opportunity to really connect with who you are. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Write it 10 times, 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening. thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. I challenge you to look at the life you're in when you start this and look at where you are when you come out of this in 28 days. Maybe we'll have to ask you back so we can do a reassessment, because I'm certainly going to do this. Did you hear that, world? I am going to do this. There's no telling where I could end up. You know, I'm not going to tell. I may be going through the wormhole of life and coming out the other end completely transcended and transformed, or I might just be lying to you. Come back in 28 days. We'll find out. But so you can find out more about the Reverend Dr. the Reverend Charlotte Tinker, the Friday night sitting circle, the Tuesday night meditation group, and you go to KuanYinSpeaks.com, Q-U-A-N-Y-I-N, Speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S.com, to find out more and connect with her and participate in these wonderful practices. And are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with the listeners before we go to the top of the hour?
No, I'm just delighted to have everyone join us who is willing to do that. You can get a hold of me if things are happening on Facebook or at my Gmail account, and let me know what's going on in your lives. I really like to get some feedback on this.
Yeah.
So it's a good experiment, and one that's can be fun, and that I suspect will get you right down into embracing who you really are and what a wonderful way that is to be in life.
So when I post this on goodvibrationsradio.com guest page, may I post the mantra and
absolutely.
And your contact information?
Oh, absolutely.
So I put the little instructions
yep.
in there. So
that'll be great.
And I got to say, how many – there's the old story of the concert pianist, you know, and the gentleman who comes up after the concert and says to the concert pianist, you know, I'd give anything to be able to play like you. And the pianist looks at him and says, obviously not. So the issue is, do you want to complain about your life for the next 28 days, or do you want to do something that's relatively non-invasive, it's simple, it's just a commitment 3 times a day to write 10 times, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Give yourself the empirical experiment of doing it mm-hmm. and see what shifts, changes, or results you come up with. And then you can complain all you want after that.
That's right.
You know, nobody's taking away your right to complain. You know, so do that anyway. But it's the old story. There was a fellow by the name of Charles Tremendous Jones, a fabulous, fabulous old-style speaker. It'll be my final thought before we go to the top of the hour. And he used to say, remember, you're going to be the same person you are 5 years from now, except for the books you read and the people you meet. Mm-hmm. So do you want to be stagnant or do you want to keep evolving? Remember, every one of us is the God and the divine we've been looking for externally in our lives. And now's our time to look internally and make sure that we're finding our divinity and bringing that divinity out to the world. As Reverend Tinker shared, as we bring ourselves out, we end up shifting the world because of being more of who we truly are. So many blessings. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back right after the top of the hour with more Good Vibrations Radio right here on Radio Monterey. Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, Kirilani is not able to join us this evening, but that doesn't mean that we won't have her energy with us through the course of the conversation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds November 1st and 2nd, and also the owner-operator of Radio Monterey. So our guest this evening is Howard Strauss. Now, Howard had a 40-year computer career. He's a graduate of MIT, and then he suddenly moved into publishing the work Dr. Max Gerson, Healing the Hopeless, the story of his grandfather, and also working alongside his mother, Charlotte Gerson, and the Gerson Therapy. So joining us on the first Saturday of every month is Howard, who likes to expose the fraud of the AMA, the FDA, the USDA, all the other A's that are out there, and all those who want to take away your choice and the health of your life. So, Howard, welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you so much, Solar Thor. It's a pleasure to be here always.
Yes, and I appreciate the fact that I appreciate the fact that you're here, period. I was going to say make some other smart aleck comment, unnecessary and unneeded. I'm just glad that you're here. So I noticed when you came in this evening, too, you presented an article about fluoride used in U.S. water supplies found contaminated with lead, tungsten, strontium, aluminum, and uranium. Did you want to talk about that?
I'd like to talk to you about that, but first I'd like to talk about the fact that next week, from the 8th until the 11th of August, I shall be at the gathering called Contact in the Desert. And Contact in the Desert is a gathering of all of the top names in extraterrestrial contact research. And, you know, you might think, well, gosh, what a strange combination that is. Well, the reason that we're there is that the promoter of Steve's newest film, The Grounded 2, about Earthing again.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, if you recall, was inspired by my radio program, The Power of Natural Healing. This one actually features me throughout. So I appear throughout the movie interviewing various people on the subject. So I'm going to be helping to premiere the movie at that gathering on the 9th in the evening at 9:30 in the evening at Joshua Tree National Monument. At the gathering called Contact in the Desert, which you can find out about at contactinthedesert.com. And the reason that we are there is that on the film, we're talking with Dr. Edgar Mitchell, an astronaut who not only was an astronaut, a PhD, but he founded the Noetic Society.
Mm-hmm.
And on the film, he was talking about his our connection to the Earth and what it felt like to be so distant, so far separated from it. And he segued from there into talking about while he was orbiting the moon and while he was on the moon, how extraterrestrial beings were inspecting him and making contact. Checking him out for whatever they were checking him out for. But he became absolutely convinced at that point and started to connect and interact with all of the big names in extraterrestrial research. He's convinced that extraterrestrials have been with us and around us for thousands and thousands of years and remain to this day around us. So I'll be there doing a Q&A on the movie, after the movie, along with Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who I'm very much looking forward to meeting.
All right. Excellent. That's excellent. So I want to remind folks that Howard mentioned also that he does The Power of Natural Healing, which is Mondays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. And what you can do is you can go to GersonHealthMedia.com and connect over and get the information about Howard, his show, and other information and other things like that. But you can also do that by connecting from the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com and connect right over to Howard's site. So that makes it so much easier. And you can also hear him every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Power of Natural Healing channel on the internet. So that's wonderful. Now, Howard, I noticed that there's nothing about the contact in the desert that I saw here, but I want to remind you, contactinthedesert.com, you said?
Contactinthedesert.com, no other punctuations. And the so that is a 3-day conference, and there's a little bonus there thrown in by Mother Nature, and that is that it's in the middle of the Perseid meteor shower. So being in the high desert with its cool, dry air, and being far away from the light pollution of Los Angeles and the big cities along the coast, it ought to be quite a spectacular show in the high desert, with meteorites, 2 or 3 meteorites per minute for several days. So that's going to be a treat as well. I'll be there. I'll be answering questions. I'll be selling books, things like that, to promote this film. And speaking of promotion, today, I don't know if you're aware of who Dr. Joseph Mercola is. Dr. Joseph Mercola has a website promoting various different health products and health ideas and so forth, natural healing products. And he has, I think it's the largest, the most followed website in the natural healing area. He did a lead article on it, on the new Earthing movie this morning, and offered a free viewing of The Grounded 2. And as of the moment that I left the house this evening, which was about 6 o'clock, the movie had gotten 142,000 views.
Wow.
142,000 views, and that's in less than 24 hours. So this is a subject that people are very, very interested in. And word of mouth, just they pass it around, and they will be showing it at the gathering.
So that's contactinthedesert.com. But what you really do is go to goodvibrationsradio.com, connect over to garrisonmedia.com, and take a look there. You'll always be able to stay abreast of what's going on with the grounding and Grounded 2 through Howard's site. So for those of you who want to go to contactinthedesert.com, go look at that site. And for the rest of you and the mildly curious, go to garrisonhealthmedia.com first. So, Howard, we wanted to now talk about fluoride, at least.
Right. You know, we periodically revisit.
Favorite topic.
No, it's not my favorite, but it's definitely.
It's a favorite topic.
A favorite topic.
It was an A.
Because fluoride is such a potent poison. And there's right now, I think the count is up to about 60,000 independent studies showing over the past century, even showing that fluoride is a terrible, terrible toxin. That alone should be far more than enough to ban it forever from introduction into our water system. Instead, our government and industry insists on intentionally dosing our water supply with this terrible toxin that affects the brain, it affects bones, it affects connective tissues. It just leads to all kinds of different illnesses, including it's now been shown without a doubt that fluoridation of water increases the cancer rate as well, and the government makes no allowance for that. They insist on putting fluoride in the water. The other thing they insist on is not testing it for safety, and all of the studies that they quote showing that fluoride is good for you are all underwritten, financed by, and promoted by the manufacturers of fluoride and the promoters of fluoride fluoridation.
Well, you know, I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, and so you don't believe it? Or? Yeah.
Well, hasn't that become the one of the conservative mantras, especially with climate change? Well, I'm not a scientist.
Well, but, you know. Basically, you could take it a lot further than that. The conservatives generally don't read; they don't believe anything scientists say. They don't. They have their marching orders that come from elsewhere. And they spout them without question on faux news, so or Fox Noise, whichever you prefer to call it. They're destroying themselves as well as making life difficult for us as well.
Well, I think the challenge I have with all of this stuff, not with what you're sharing about fluoride, so misunderstand it, and I want to share this for listeners because I think there's a wide group of people that are going to be along the way I am. It's difficult for many of us to accept that all these things are intended conspiracies against us. And I just want to share one frame of reference for that. Is I first personally don't believe in conspiracies, but a conspiracy is any two people doing something anyway to begin with. Conspiracies have been overwrought and overused for many, many years now. So it's not so much that there's conspiracies, but let's just change the frame. Let's just call it, what are the intentions of the people who are doing these things? In some cases, we know that the intention is nothing more than pure profit. That's all it is. In some cases, there may be other reasons that we don't know, but we know what the outcome is. And so we do know that when profit is involved more than anything else, forget about any other BS you found out. I'm going to digress for a minute because I want to make this profit point. During the Cold War, the United States and the intelligence community firmly believed that people who became spies for other countries did so out of ideology. It was always purely ideology. And then came this retired Navy warrant officer by the name of Walker, who did so for pure profit. It shocked the community tremendously. Nobody could believe it. Walker was a card-carrying, flag-waving, patriotic American who sold secrets for money. That's the only reason he did it. And it shifted everything in the intelligence community when they realized money was the bigger driver than any belief in ideology ever was. And that he did this for years while in uniform and even after he was retired for money and nothing else. It's the same thing with these things. I want to get personally, not talking... This is not meant for you, Howard. It's really for the listening audience. I want to get out of the mindset of thinking in terms of conspiracies and into the mindset of thinking in terms of profit. Where profit is involved, all other considerations go by the wayside much more easily than anything else. So don't think that people are going to the bar or going home or going to corporate meetings and necessarily always planning how they can do something to us to harm us. They're not. They're planning how they can do something and make a buck out of it and sell it to us. Sell us the idea, sell us the image, sell us the product. That's what they're doing. It's about profit.
I wish I had your charming faith in people.
I do believe that there are malevolent people. There's no question about it. But I think what turns people away from trying to grasp some of these issues, my opinion, it's my opinion, not necessarily yours, is the belief that that there are people malevolently believing things. We know that the top 1% believe to the core that they are more entitled than the rest of us.
That's right.
That's not the same thing as saying they're malevolent. they're, and I can say this on air, they're pricks, but they're not necessarily malevolent.
But you know, I understand your point, and I will agree up to a point. Let's say the bottom 99% of the top 1% is doing it for profit and profit alone, which of course is a huge disincentive to let Citizens United stand, because corporations have no soul, no motivations other than profit, and so they will do anything and everything without any consideration of the consequences, whereas a person might actually have consequences from what he does, whereas a corporation does not. Nobody ever puts a corporation in jail. Nobody ever puts a corporation, straps it down to a table and injects inject lethal compounds. So that alone should speak very very much against corporations being people. They're not. People are people. Corporations are not people.
Yeah, I think unfortunately there's a slippery slope that works for them and against them on that whole premise. That some point they have to be challenged on that premise of if they have the same status as people, then I can in fact put you in jail.
Yeah,
I can put this corporation in jail.
The entire
board of directors and CEOs, and they will fight it tooth and nail. But I agree with your point. But I think that there is an energy that happens out of the energy of people being involved in an initiative that goes forward. And here, let me try to put that in real language, real words. But I think when people get together, sometimes it's the same issue of the experiment that was done by the gentleman whom I've forgotten about back, I believe it was in Stanford, but maybe it wasn't. The electrical experiments.
Right, right. The torture. Was it Stanford or was it in Palo Alto High School?
No, I thought it was college level.
College level.
It was Stanford.
Yeah, okay.
And for those who don't recall that, what it really was is that I was supposedly hired to be part of a test experiment. And supposedly there were other people hired who were in this enclosed thing. And I was to ask them a question. And if they got the question wrong, I was to give them a shock, and I was to give them increasingly greater levels of electrical shock as they got the questions wrong. And the issue was how many people actually, you know, kept continuing to give them the shock. And I don't remember the numbers. But
they could hear the reactions to that shock as well.
Yeah.
So they were hearing expressions of discomfort first and then screams later. And continued nonetheless.
Some continued to do it because my job was to make sure you gave the right answer or give you the shock when you gave the wrong answer. And people get in that mindset. And so where I'm going to really with that, or even the other one, which you may recall, which was about the prison thing where they had the students, and that might have been the high school one that you were thinking of, the students, and they broke them up into prisoners and guards. And they actually came and took them out of their homes one night and put them into their prison and did the whole simulation. And there were rules and regulations, and the prisoners revolted, and then they were subdued, and then torture began, not because it was part of the script. It just became the natural outcome. Both of these are terrifying experiments that say when we are a part of a group, we will tend to go with the flow of the group mentality without examining our own personal ethics or our own personal morals or mores at that moment in time. And that's why I truly don't believe. I believe Monsanto as a corporation is evil.
Oh, the most evil corporation on the planet.
I don't believe everybody who works there is evil.
No.
But I do believe Monsanto itself as a corporation, mm-hmm. as an entity, is living and breathing, is evil.
And is closely followed by Nestle, by the way. Monsanto.
You don't think your water should be privately held?
That's right. And Nestle thinks that all the water on the planet should be privately held. And the Koch brothers are also trying to, for people who decide to opt out of out of burning fuel for energy and use solar, the Koch brothers are now trying to tax those people for sunlight. So, I mean, sunlight, and the next thing is air, right? So if you don't pay your tax to us, we're going to cut off your air. So it's, you know, they're rapidly taxing everything that will basically keep us alive.
And that's why, as we've said every time Howard's here, it's not a question of I don't want you afraid. I want you engaged. I don't want you immobilized.
Well, I'm not trying to scare people.
I didn't think you were. I'm just sharing that.
Right. Okay.
So I don't want to think they're directed at you.
No,
they're not.
I understand. But I also, but now I want to point out one more thing. I don't think that there's a whole bunch of different conspiracies involving GMOs and fluoridation and radiation and smart meters and cell phones and et cetera, et cetera. It's electrosmog and things like that. It's not. What I'm telling you is that the Rockefellers have been researching genocide for over 100 years. And all of these are parts of the same plan. There's only one plan, and it's all part of the same plan. And they can encourage other people. They can entrain other people, from politicians to other corporations to individuals. They can entrain people in their effort simply by throwing large chunks of money at them, and that they do. They have large chunks of money. And they throw large chunks of money at each of those problems, and they can get people to say almost anything and do almost anything for those large chunks of money, and never mind that it goes against everything that human beings should go after. Remember, we talked about the narcissistic personality, the personality of a total psychopath. Which is representing about 1% of the general population. 1% of people have absolutely no conscience. They'll do anything it takes to get ahead. Doesn't matter whose face they have to step on, and they will do that. But in our government, the distribution is more like 1 out of 10 or 10%. So they gravitate towards government, and I would submit that as the level of government in which they're involved, it gets higher and higher, the percentage increases. So the higher you get in government, the more concentrated the narcissists, the people with absolutely no conscience, are going to appear.
Well, I don't know. You call them narcissists. I think some of them are just plain sociopaths, so I don't...
Okay, sociopaths.
I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not trying to actually.
This is not opinion. This is from.
No. I said that's my opinion,
right.
That they're sociopaths. I didn't say it was your opinion. So I'm not actually trying to dispute the things you're saying. I'm just saying that I actually have different views of some of these things, which is why I think conspiracies turn some people away, and they need to think of it in terms of profit. Because that would let them understand that people will do that. And then you couple that with what you've shared about the narcissists. And I consider them actually sociopaths because I've actually seen a study that said I've seen a study about sociopaths. You saw one about narcissists. And I got to tell you, the thing about government that people don't recognize, because there is no profit, there's no inherent profit. What's important to the people as they rise to power is sphere of influence. And sphere of influence means their sphere of influence. So if you just take the term narcissist as Howard was sharing it, labeled to these people, they look at everything in the context of their domain, their sphere of influence. That's what becomes important to them. However, government is not filled with those people, but government has a high percentage of those people in positions of authority. That's kind of the distinction. And very often, those are the types of people who rise to the positions of authority. Government is actually filled with a lot of people trying to do what they believe is the right work. It really is. But you've got to watch out for the people in authority. There's no question about that. And the people they bring along with them, because very often, like types like.
And of course, the Rockefellers themselves, I am absolutely convinced, think that they're doing the right thing as well. But, you know, in whose interest is the right thing?
And that's where I'm really getting to about all of these things. I believe all of these things are happening. See, there's no question.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to really share with the listeners. But if they're one of those people, and I actually am one of those people, which is why I share it, that I really can't stand this idea of conspiracies. It's not about conspiracy. It's about human nature. And it goes back even to what you said, Howard. You throw money at people. People will do a lot of things for money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said to somebody, it offended him because he was in a position of high authority, high integrity. But I said to him one time, I said, everybody has their price. You just never know what that person's price is. And there may not be a single dollar bill you could give me for my price, but maybe you could threaten to do something to cure it. That would be a price for me. But everybody has a price. And boy, this gentleman was offended. He was really offended. Well, you know, I have this type of clearance.
That's pretty much the theme of 1984, though, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody has a price.
Yeah, everybody has a price. So, you know, getting back to the fluoride, what is happening with the fluoride is that Mike Adams, who runs a website, naturalnews.com, he tested sodium fluoride from six of the sources that most of our municipalities get their sodium fluoride from to fluoridate the water. Not bad enough that sodium fluoride itself, is rat poison. It's a deadly, deadly poison. But he tested those six samples, which were labeled pure sodium fluoride. And by the way, they all came from China. Okay. And he found that the aluminum content of these things, of these samples, the maximum was 283,000 parts per billion, and the average aluminum was 69.364 parts per billion. I'm sorry, 69,384 parts per billion. The safe level, considered safe by the EPA for aluminum, is one part per million or 1,000 parts per billion. So this is between 70 and 230 times the maximum safe level. One would think that the United States government or the municipalities or somebody would test the purity of the chemicals that they're dumping in our drinking water. One would think, wouldn't one?
Well, one would, but you know, let's go back to profit. We've so diluted the quality of what's coming into this country, especially with our influx of Chinese goods. You know, when we talk about corporations that have offshored businesses, they have offshored it to places where there are not unions, there are not standards, there are not regulations. We've heard the conservatives, the Republicans in this country latch onto those things like those are crimes against humanity to have regulations or safety standards that are actually intended to protect the public.
And they're doing everything they can to dismantle ours.
That's right. But the Chinese, when you're getting anything, any kind of produce, any kind of pharmaceutical, anything that's coming through China, you can guarantee that it is completely impure by U.S. standards. You can guarantee it.
Absolutely. The Chinese have absolutely no consideration whatsoever for what they ship overseas. But it's worse than that. They have no consideration for what they ship to other Chinese either.
No.
I mean, remember that that scandal a little while ago? They were putting melamine in milk to thicken it up, so they could dilute it, so they could adulterate it. They were putting melamine in it, and it was killing babies. So they have no consideration whatsoever for environmental pollution, for other Chinese, anyone. I'm getting mine. I don't care about anyone else, is what their philosophy is. And when we buy things from them, we are the recipient of the output from people who don't give a damn about what they put in their goods.
And so I encourage you to take a look at what you're buying on top of that to see. You know, I once, one day I had been in Target, this is a couple of years ago, and I saw a pair of sandals I liked. I picked them up, and I was wearing them because I, for whatever reason, I wanted to wear sandals that day. Didn't have them at work. And somebody came by and said something to me. I think it was the next day I was wearing them again. And somebody came by and said some, oh, nice sandals. I said, yeah, unfortunately, I didn't look at them till after I bought them that they were from China. And they looked at me like I was being a bigot. I said, no, it's not a bigot. it's actually, one, is I'm offended by the labor conditions that exist in China. Two, I'm offended by so many U.S. companies that have actually offshored work to a place that has those types of labor condition with no consideration and putting U.S. people out of business. And all of us should be boycotting Chinese-made goods. And I encourage you to look at things and do what you can on an individual-based basis.
And here our municipalities are buying chemicals that are mislabeled and that have heavy metals in them, like aluminum. And by the way, aluminum is highly associated with Alzheimer's disease. And what are we, you know, the major cause of medical bankruptcy in this country, of bankruptcy at all in this country, is of personal bankruptcy, is Alzheimer's disease. And we're suffering a huge upsurge in it. And here we see that our municipalities are just turning a blind eye. And what for? For the money. As you said before, for the money, all you have to do is attach a dollar sign to it, and we automatically shut off all of our other senses and go buy it. And this includes buying sandals or buying cheap shirts or buying electronic components or anything else. Is that we're closing our eyes and buying it simply because it's cheaper. And this is what happens. We end up poisoning ourselves, poisoning our children. There's a huge upsurge in dental fluorosis in this country. Hmm. And that's because of the amount of fluorine that we're pouring into our water, into our medications, into all kinds of different products. We're pouring fluorine in there. And our bodies respond to it by mottling our teeth, by making our bones brittle, by increasing the cancer rate and so forth.
What is dental fluorosis? What would be a symptom of that?
A symptom of that is discoloration, a mottling of the teeth. So brown spots or yellow spots on the teeth that are not from like caffeine or some dye. Some food stuff that dyes the teeth, berries or whatever. But what it is from is from fluoride causing malformation of the calcium in your teeth.
Huh.
And the malformation makes your teeth not white but brown or in spots. And it makes what's worse is the teeth are the only really calcium part of your body that shows. What are the other part of your body that's made out of calcium? Is the whole
skeletal structure.
And so if the fluoride is interfering at such a high rate with our dental with the formation of calcium in our mouths, what do you think it's doing to the rest of our bone structure? And in fact, it is interfering with the structure of bones, and it's making the bones brittle. So you suffer not, you know, instead of falling and causing yourself maybe a hairline fracture, the bone will shatter. Okay, and so that's another effect of fluorosis affecting the structure of calcium of the bones.
So you can actually find out more about all of this type of information by going to The Power of Natural Healing, hosted by Howard Strauss, every Monday at 11 a.m., and go to GarrisonMedia.com to connect over and find out more about all that is offered through Howard's site, Garrison Health Media, as well as the work of his mother, Charlotte Garrison, in carrying through, the Garrison therapy. And the real point is, if you want to be enraged, if you want to be angry, the real point is, be engaged, be involved in your own health, your own life, and making the choices. And don't be shy about letting others know about the choices. As a matter of fact, you should be as engaged as those idiots who have to walk into Target or Sonic or whatever else with their rifles on as if as if that's something really important in life. But what is important in life is that when you are purchasing, that you have awareness of what you're buying, that you're putting things that serve your body into your body, and that you also boycott items coming from China, not because I'm a Chinese bigot, but because they are stealing jobs, they are artificially keeping prices down under the auspice of not giving them to people in the United States, and they're giving impure products to us that are harming us in so many ways. And as I said, they're not safe for the average consumer, for the consumer period. So please make sure you do all that. You know, I want to close out tonight by doing a little bit of a peace meditation. So I want to thank Howard for being here as always. And I'm going to go ahead and ask you to get in a comfortable place. I need you to shift. I need you to take a shift right now. If you're driving, go ahead and give us your intention, not your focus. For everyone else, sit in a comfortable place. Don't lie down. And go ahead and feel as if you're anchored to your chair as we start to go into this meditation for peace. Because the more we can bring peace into our life, the more we can bring peace into the world. Next week, Good Vibrations Radio will be back speaking with Carl Greer about change your story, change your life, using shamanic and Jungian tools to achieve personal transformation. For those of you listening, just want to thank you for listening. Many blessings. Namaste. And turn the lead in your life into gold as we go into this meditation. So we're doing the meditation to the music Hope from Sean Paul and by courtesy of Sean Paul Productions. Dwight Eisenhower reminded us, we seek peace knowing that peace is the true climate of freedom. Attract world peace. Thoughts become things, whether conscious or unconscious.
Mother Teresa said, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other.
The law of attraction states, that which is like unto itself is drawn. We've attracted our current circumstances with our past thoughts and actions. Let's try again.
As John F. Kennedy said, the problems of the world can't possibly be solved by skeptics or cynics whose horizons have become limited by the obvious realities. We need men who can dream dreams that never were.
The law of attraction tells us to dream of a world at peace. Believe it's possible. Dare to change your thoughts and act as if we're at peace.
Gandhi told us, you must be the change you wish to see in the world.
And Bernard Baruch said, if the history of the past 50 years teaches us anything, it's that peace does not follow disarmament. Disarmament follows peace.
John F. Kennedy shared, one person can make a difference. And every person should try.
One of the greatest modern statesmen, Winston Churchill, taught us that courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen.
Visualize a world at peace. Martin Luther King Jr. asked us to take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step.
John F. Kennedy said that peace is a daily, a weekly, a monthly process, gradually changing opinions, slowly eroding old barriers, quietly building new structures. Attract world peace.
Nelson Mandela taught us, if you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy, and then he becomes your partner.
And Moshe Dayan told us, if you want to make peace, don't talk to your friends. Talk to your enemies. Act as if we're at peace.
Harry Truman said, it is understanding that gives us an ability to have peace. When we understand the other fellow's viewpoint and he understands ours, then we can sit down and work out our differences.
The Dalai Lama told the world, each of us must learn to work not just for oneself or one's own family or nation, but for the benefit of all humankind. Universal responsibility is the key to human survival. It's the best foundation for world peace.
Buddha reminded us that all that we are is a result of what we've thought.
Be grateful for a world at peace.
Attract world peace.
Believe our world is at peace.
Albert Einstein taught that imagination is everything. It's the preview of life's coming attractions. Attract world peace.
The Dalai Lama shared, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries.
And Maya Kincaid shared a message from the humpback whales. Peace does not occur by changing your neighbor, your friend, or politician. It happens when humans take the personal responsibility to be peace itself. It begins at home with a peaceful heart.
Think of the changes that would occur in the lives of people you know. Not to mention how this would ripple out to others. Imagine how your life would change by this simple practice. Attract world peace.
Attract world peace.
Thank you. Some room.